Welcome to Crosslink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral health care provider. That's me, Shirley Gutkowski. I'm a clinical dental hygienist. I'm in the prevention mode, helping you keep your health at its optimum by bringing you a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And today we are going to be talking about spices. I think we've talked a number of times about proanthocyanidins and some other plants that are healthful, but in the recent past, I'm working on my presentation for the Vancouver meeting, the beginning of March, and I remember bringing information about curcumin back the last time I was there, and that's about three years ago, or maybe four, and I had to stumble over the word curcumin. It was very embarrassing. I couldn't say it right, but I did get it out finally, and I at least got the information out in front of the people. But the science of curcumin and turmeric has really exploded in the last couple of years. So I wanted to bring some information about turmeric and curcumin to you, the listener, and learn how to use turmeric or curcumin, and you'll see why I'm saying both of them at the same breath here a little bit as we go through. And I have with me Dr. Sharmila Mudgal, and she is board certified and fellowship trained and board certified physician specializing in occupational and environmental medicine. She has a degree from the Harvard School of Public Health. She's an expert in the diagnosis of work-related musculoskeletal injuries and illnesses, and she's a patient advocate. Dr. Mudgal is dedicated to the injured worker, providing treatment plans that focus on restoring patient function and transitioning them back to the work environment. And she has also done some integrative health research on curcumin for an aid in pain. So welcome, Dr. Mudgal. How are you?
Thank you, Shirley, for having me on your show today. I'm very well, thank you.
Great. So I got curcumin to spit out right, so I feel like I'm way ahead of the curve. I don't know why. I froze. I was looking at the word, and it just wasn't coming out. So you heard me say a couple of times curcumin and turmeric. So can you tell us why I'm using both of those terms together, even though they're not really the same?
Sure. So if you've ever heard of the curry spice, when people refer to the curry spice, they're often speaking of turmeric. Now, turmeric is the actual spice. And if you know where it comes from, it's the root of a plant. So it's a plant called Curcuma longa. And the root or the rhizome of this particular plant, it looks like ginger, like a ginger root. And when it's dried and powdered, you get what is called turmeric. So turmeric essentially contains, when you powder the root, it essentially contains a lot of woody matter. And the active component of that is called turmeric. Essentially, the use of turmeric dates back thousands of years in Asia, in India, as well as in China and many other parts of the world. It has been extensively used and studied for many different conditions, primarily used externally for wounds and has been understood to be an antiseptic as well as a wound healing agent, and consumed internally as well for various reasons. For dyspepsia, for painful conditions like arthritis, as well as for many other conditions combined with other substances. So when we say turmeric, we're essentially referring to the whole spice. And then when you say curcumin, you're essentially referring to the main pigmented, the substance that gives turmeric its yellow color, which is the pigmented part, and its main bioactive component, that's called curcumin. So curcumin is a part of turmeric, and turmeric is the whole. So it's the part versus the whole.
So you can purchase curcumin on its own in like little capsules, and you can also purchase turmeric now as a capsule in like a health food store. So is one better than the other? Should a person look at one over the other?
So, again, it depends on, you know, for what purpose you're taking it. As you rightly said, curcumin is sold in capsules, and it has been, so it depends on, as I said before, if you're looking at the bioactivity. The traditional way of giving turmeric in ancient cultures when it was used was always used as a whole. And in modern science today, the way we always break it down, especially even with my training, we're trained to look at what is the most active component and look at the activity of that active component and use it that way. But I think more and more research is showing that while when we study these active components in vitro in the lab, they seem to do very well. But for whatever reason, when the same active component is taken out of the whole herb or the spice and used individually, it doesn't seem to perform as well in vivo or in actual living systems. And I think the reason for that is if you look at turmeric as a whole, in addition to curcumin, it contains many, many other active compounds. It contains well over 200 active compounds. Some of them have been characterized in the lab and some not really well understood or known. And in the last 15 or so years, there have been thousands of research studies where people have tried to figure out what is it that each of these active components do. And they have found that it has antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer effects, all of these in the lab setting. But again, like I said, for whatever reason, when you just isolate the active component and use it in living systems, it doesn't seem to do as well. So the hypothesis is that in addition to the active compound, there are many other compounds that contribute to its effect. So is there a possible synergy that happens when it is part of the whole versus just a single isolated active compound? So which is why we have, again, it's my own understanding and my own research has led me to believe that it's better to take the whole than the part. Then the second part of it is we've also found that if you just take the curcumin alone, the approach has been to maximize this by increasing the dose to counteract the fact that it is not very well absorbed or available when you take it, when you ingest it orally. And we found that our own research has led us to, again, understand that it is, if you take it as a whole, you probably don't need a whole lot of it. So it is, we've looked at it as nature intended it to be. It is part of a whole. There's many different things that contribute to the effect. We don't fully understand it, and we don't fully know how they all work together. But, you know, those are questions to be answered still. So to answer your question, yes, curcumin is available and turmeric is available. And as of now, there's no real good way to tell, if in a standardized formulation, how much one should take or, how often one should take it for a specific condition. But we are attempting to answer some of those questions.
You haven't answered, but you have started to use in your studies and in your practice turmeric as a pain reliever systemically, right? So you've created a little lozenge that people will put in their mouth and let dissolve in, and so it goes through the oral mucosa and the sublingual mucosa into the bloodstream. And that seems to be a more effective way to get it into the bloodstream than just swallowing it. Is that what you just said?
Right. So thank you for asking that question, Shirley, because when I started to look at managing chronic painful conditions in my own practice, I quickly hit upon limitations from what was currently at my disposal. We use a lot of different medications, and patients are often either limited by the side effects or they just don't want to take these medications for a long period of time because they understand some of the risks associated with it. So when I started to look at alternatives and integrating various other modalities into my practice to help with some of my patients, I actually started to tell them just to take the spices, to buy it from a reputable source. And then based on my own cultural background, I'm from India, so I'm very familiar with how to use these spices either in cooking or to use them for therapeutic effect. So I would often give them recipes to make at home. And as you can understand, some of them are simple, some are a little bit more complicated. And some of my patients would come back and say, this is all very well, but I can't be making this, measuring this, and doing all this stuff at home on my own. So is there a better way to do this? So a colleague of mine and I decided to look into this a little bit more. And we really dove into the research and realized that there were some limitations associated with taking turmeric on its own, primarily because it's not a water-soluble compound. And if you take it orally, say, either just as a raw powder or mixed with water or take a capsule, researchers have found that a large percentage, almost 60-70% of it, just passes through your gut unchanged. And a large percentage of it that does get absorbed, of the percent that gets absorbed, it gets it metabolized in the gut, as well as it gets metabolized in the liver and becomes conjugated to form conjugated products, which we don't know yet if they're metabolically active or not. So primarily, most of it goes unchanged and some gets metabolized. So as you can see, you would have to take a lot of it to get a therapeutic effect. So, and that is not acceptable to a lot of patients. You'd have to take many, many capsules. And even though this is it's perfectly safe and has been studied to be safe in dosages up to 12 grams, can you imagine taking that much turmeric daily?
No.
So a lot of people think so too. So that's why,
I'm going to just stop for 1 second because there are 4 grams in a teaspoon. So just to give clarity here, that would be 3 teaspoons per sitting, or is it 3 teaspoons per day of this powdery powder?
That's correct.
Just like... Go ahead.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen or touched turmeric, it stains brightly. So it discolors. If you drop it on your really beautiful white shirt, too bad. It's never going to come off. So it's in many ways it's difficult to take if you have to take a lot of it. It's hard for people to comply with it, and then you just don't know how much of it is getting absorbed. So we looked at other ways.
You're listening to CrossLink Radio with host Shirley Gutkowski. If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. To have Shirley be your personal oral health coach, you can reach out to her via email. And now, back to the show.
We looked at other ways to make this bioavailable, and what we did was we came up with a formulation that took the active extract. So we took out, you take away a lot of the woody material, you get the active extract. And then you put this into a matrix with a bunch of other ingredients in it that covers it, coats it, and makes it easy to dissolve in your mouth. So if you now take this pastille, as we call it, and you put it in your mouth, it dissolves in your mouth, and it starts to work right in your mouth. And gets into your bloodstream that way. So we found that patients seem to be tolerating this better, and they actually felt that this was helping them. So this is kind of the rationale behind this particular product.
Everybody likes candy, right? It's kind of a sweet. I've not tasted one, so I'm imagining you added some kind of a sweetener to it and some flavoring.
Well,
did I see menthol? On the website?
Yes. We have to get you some. It's flavored with menthol, so it allows you to keep it in your mouth and mask the taste of the turmeric itself. Because, again, if you try to just take the turmeric on its own, the taste can be overpowering. And so we've disguised it with a few other flavors. And so it makes it a fun way to consume this. And it's easier for people who want to take this regularly to tolerate it. So, yes, there are certain other things in it. We've tried to keep it as natural as possible. So there's menthol and eucalyptus oil and spearmint and sweetened with extract of licorice. So it's a little more tolerable.
The thing that attracted me to these lozenges, well, there's a couple of things. One is I have an inflammatory condition that I'm trying to manage right now. So I've been taking turmeric. And the curcumin in relation to oral health studies has been growing. And the thought of holding turmeric in your mouth for as long as it takes to dissolve this lozenge, up to 30 minutes, depending on how much saliva you have, is extremely appealing to me. Turmeric actively reduces the amount of biofilm that's allowed to be formed on the teeth. So not only does it have a topical effect on the biofilm, it also has a topical effect on the tissue to help heal the tissue. And it's also getting soaked into your whole system. So if you're having a twisted knee, your knee will stop hurting after the second or third day of using these pastilles. Is that fair?
I think as you point out, research is more and more pointing to some of these beneficial qualities of this particular spice. And a number of these studies have been done in vivo in animals and some in humans as well. And so there is clear evidence that certain properties, especially in the oral cavity, is related to the amount of time that it is spending in that particular area. So either as a mouthwash or a pastille, yes, I think that there are certain properties that are beneficial in the case of, I think in dental, I'm not very familiar with the dental research, but it has been studied in inflammatory conditions of the mouth, such as periodontal conditions or gingivitis, mm-hmm. As well as plaque. And I should imagine that having something like turmeric would be a beneficial effect on some of these conditions. And then because it gets absorbed as well, if you have other conditions and you have, you know, most of us who have beyond a certain age, we all start to experience these daily aches and pains. That would be a nice additional side benefit, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And that's what you developed this it's called Sona, S-O-N-A, right? And If you search for Sona curcumin on the internet, on Dr. Google, you will come across your website as the first place, and it's got a nice picture of what those pastilles look like and a little explanation of how it works. How do these things work? Is this pain relief secure enough so that you could take them before or after surgery even, or is it mostly for aches and pains kind of problem?
Well, we have, so again, I think as a physician, I have to, I want to make this as scientific as possible. So
right.
You know, we are attempting to study this, and without really studying our own product, I think it would not be right for me to come out and say that it works in this way. So what we have is essentially research, and I'm going to point you back to the wider research that many experts in the field,
sure,
such as Dr. Bharath Agarwal at MD Anderson have really spent a lot of time doing. They've tried to really determine what is the mechanism of action of some of the products in this spice. And he has clearly identified anti-inflammatory effect from its effect on the COX enzymes, the 5-LOX enzymes, and essentially altering the pathway, the metabolic, inflammatory pathways that produce some of the products that cause inflammation. And, you know, we would have to study our own product under those conditions to be able to comment specifically on how it works in humans. But we have a fair idea that these are some of the underlying mechanisms, and since it's a very safe product, we don't have to go out and do all the studies before we get people to use it. So we are able to sell this as a dietary supplement and tell people to, you know, guide them to some of the broader research in this field. As far as use in oral conditions as well, there are many researchers out there who have attempted to study this in various forms, as a capsule, as a local mouthwash, as well as just taking the powder, dissolving it in, putting it in water, making a paste, and applying it inside the oral cavity. So there are many different ways that this has been studied, but we ourselves have not studied Sona under these conditions.
Well, there's time. You'll get around to it. It seems like they want, and mostly, you're right, most of the studies are still in the animal, probably having something to do with the taste of the turmeric. And that's okay with me. It seems to me that sometimes you don't have to wait for a big pile of research to happen. I mean, like you said, it's a perfectly safe spice. It's been on the planet for and used for thousands of years. It's not like it was a weed that everybody was afraid of for a long, long time, and now suddenly it works for against these other things. So I'm perfectly fine, and you don't have to say it. I can recommending that for
absolutely. Yes, as you pointed out, I mean, growing up, I grew up in India, and growing up there, we had it practically every day in food, and if I had a sore throat or had mouth ulcers or had any even bruising and things like that, that was the first thing that maybe my family members would reach for. You know, a paste of it was applied externally or internally in the mouth. So it was used in children as well. So I've grown up using it. And so I'm very, very comfortable saying that it's a perfectly safe spice for use every day.
I'm with you. I don't have a problem with it using it. I feel like it's doing something. So that's all good. So you said, too, though, somewhere along the line here in our conversations, this is our second conversation, about turmeric and cancer and how, or maybe it was Dr. Agarwal who told me that because when it goes through the intestines almost as a whole molecule, it can affect the growing cancers in the colon directly. So I get the picture in my mind that maybe it needs to touch the cancer cell in order for it to, like, explode or stop growing or stops the blood supply from getting to the cancer or there's some kind of a mechanism there that's still under investigation. Is that kind of fair?
That is fair. I think there are many, many studies out there looking at this in different cancers. And one of the studies that you just mentioned, the colorectal cancer, that was a study where they thought that maybe because this goes unchanged and the local effect of it is what is causing the beneficial effect in this particular cancer. So again, like I said it to you before, the mechanism of action, we know very well that turmeric has curcumin as one of its active components, and there are many other bioactives in that mix. Mm-hmm. And together they have what we call a pleiotropic effect, that they have multiple molecular targets. So if you imagine one of the medications we use, like Celebrex, we know that it's a COX-2 inhibitor. So it acts on one particular pathway. But if you look at turmeric, it acts on, or curcumin, it acts on COX-2, it acts on 5-LOX, it acts on many other pathways that are involved in inflammation. So the current thinking is that, you know, maybe we've reached a point where these single pathway drugs are not working, or they're limited by side effects. Because the body is smarter than that, and it figures out a way, once you block a single pathway, to find a workaround solution, and then develops either antibodies or you know, and other parallel pathways that take over and become active. So the idea of developing something that has multiple targets where it modulates all these various targets, either reduces the pro-inflammatory markers or works on the boosting the anti-inflammatory pathways, and as well as all the other parallel signaling pathways. I think something
right.
like that. If we could really understand that, and we have a lot of research on it, but I don't think clinically in human beings we've still been able to figure out all of the pathways and get to a really sophisticated understanding of how to use it in particular conditions. So, but as you can see, that the idea is very very attractive. And so we mm-hmm. really need to study this in humans and try to understand it a little bit more, especially in various cancers.
Yeah, it's crazy how this inflammation piece is like the missing piece to all of the cancer stories. And reducing inflammation from the front side may start eliminating these cancers from ever presenting themselves. There was a story not too long ago about cadaver studies found that all cadavers over 35 years of age had some cancer somewhere. So that's pretty damning to know that by the time you're 40, you're pretty screwed. But using something like turmeric and really embracing the ideas of these proanthocyanidins from the fruits and vegetables can help to reduce the inflammation in the body, aside from not eating things that will produce inflammatory response. So could be used better maybe as a preventive than as a treatment.
I think, yes, I think I agree with you on that point. Preventing conditions should be, is a better way of dealing with some of these health problems. And if there were a way to prevent cancers, in whatever way we can figure out that's foolproof, that would be an amazing thing to do. We don't have, unfortunately, we don't have enough research to show that we're able to do that with all different cancers and all different age groups. But I think if I were to put my money on finding, a cure for a chemo preventive, I think I would say we should study turmeric and curcumin much more and maybe invest in more clinical studies in human beings. We have enough evidence to show that it does have certain properties that are very attractive, but it's just not been sufficiently. There haven't been enough clinical studies in large groups of people to be able to say that. And as a scientific person, unless we're able to do that, we're not really able to say with certainty that we should be able to prevent certain cancers or prevent certain conditions. For example, turmeric has also been studied in Alzheimer's. But until those studies happen, I myself believe that, adding this to my diet and taking this daily is one way that I can take care of my own health.
Yep. It's healthful. So it's safe to have, and like we said, it's been around for a really long time and used in this way for a very long time. So that's to me, is a real big plus. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Mudgall. We're kind of out of time already, so I'm excited to have brought this information to the CrossLink Radio audience. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us today again at CrossLink Radio, and I hope to see this episode shared with all of your friends and your relatives and anyone else who is having an inflammatory condition or who would like to know more about healthy benefits from spices like curcumin. Join us next time, and we'll see you then.